What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, everybody. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. I'm Shireen.
And I'm Anna.
And we have a really beautiful, hopeful, inspiring episode for you today. Anna, who's our guest?
Today we are joined by one of my Next Up fellows, podcast host, the host of Survivors Heal, activist, advocate, legend. We are joined by Oya L. Shirelles to talk about her upbringing, her work, and her podcast, which is very thrilling. Say hello, Oya. Yeah.
Hey.
All right. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hello. Hi, Anna.
Hello. Huge news in the world. Ticketmaster is in trouble.
Womp womp. Who cares? It is unsettling how things have taken a turn. Just, I feel like things are progressing so fast with anything that happens, you know, like something will happen and then like a day later it's like, oh, it exploded or something. But I don't know. Who cares? Taylor Swift has enough money and you can just watch her on the internet.
Yeah. Sure. I don't even think about her. So guys, we have a great episode today. Such an aside for the beginning.
You're the one that brought it up. You just brought up Ticketmaster.
I know. I just said it because all I see in the trendings for the news is Ticketmaster. It's like, ay.
On the internet very much today, but who cares?
Everyone says Taylor Swift fans are going to January 6th Ticketmaster.
Oh my God. They need to chill.
Well, have you met a Taylor Swift fan? My God.
They're terrible. I mean, sorry if there's anyone out there that likes her, but you know, there's a certain brand of fan. There's a certain brand of fan that's disturbing to me. Not terrible.
They're not terrible. They're just like committed.
Yeah, but how?
They need to be committed. Just joking. That's an old party down joke.
I saw that show before. You told me about that show. I just cannot wrap my head around being so invested in someone or something that does not really affect your life and has no like, I don't know. This is a different conversation about fandom and all that stuff. It doesn't matter. Today, we have a much better person and thing to talk about. So do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, we have a great guest. This guest was a fellow in the Next Up initiative in the first round. And they are an activist. They're a community advocate. They are a podcaster. They are a survivor of crime. They are a person who honestly is very inspiring to me. A lot of the work they do I find fascinating, and I'm constantly inspired by their strength to speak on matters that can be very difficult to get into. But without further ado, we are joined by Oya Shirelles.
Hi.
Welcome. Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
So we met because you applied to Next Up. I'm curious how, I don't even know if we've had this conversation before. Maybe we have. How did you find Next Up?
Actually, this dope-ass woman I've been working with, Danielle Killian. She's like a communication strategist. She just sends me a boatload of interesting things to look at and apply to, and this was one of them, and it caught my eye. And we've been at the nonprofit that I work with, the Reverence Project, we've been putting together a podcast for a few years through Black Talk Radio, and so I felt like, hey, why not give it a shot?
Okay, hell yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Worked out.
So you were interested in like audio medium already?
Yeah, we would just utilize the podcasting medium to actually teach some youth about the medium as a way to express themselves, as a way to talk about the issues, especially when we're talking about for survivors of crime. We would also just kind of have some discussions, you know, with the community about all kinds of topics, but mainly relevant to the work that we do.
That's cool. Can you tell us about the work? It's the Reverence Project, you said?
Yeah.
What kind of work do you guys do?
So we do provide services for victims and survivors of crime. So direct services, but we also do advocacy. We are a member organization with the largest network of survivors in the state of California and actually across the nation, and that is the Californians for Safety and Justice and Crime Survivors for Safety and Justice. So we've been on the ground. We're based in Watts, in the neighborhood of Watts in South Central Los Angeles. Yeah, we provide all kinds of services, innovative services, and we focus around healing.
Wow, that's cool.
Let's go back a little. So where were you born and where were you raised?
Okay, so I was born in Bellflower because we lived in Compton and that's where Kaiser is, right? But I was raised, you know, actually between the IE, so the Inland Empire, and Watts in South Central Los Angeles. My great-grandmother lived in the Inland Empire in Fontana, right? Mm-hmm. And my parents my father lived in Watts, and my mom lived in Compton here and there. She eventually moved to the Bay Area. But just growing up, I was like kind of in between all of these spaces. Mm-hmm. But the place that felt the most like my community always was Watts because I had all my cousins there, like all, you know, eventually I started going to school there, but it was like, and then I spent a lot of summers there. And it's also where I felt like I had the confidence to stand up for myself when I was in Fontucky, because that was a very interesting experience, just growing up in a neighborhood that was very white.
And wait, where was it?
That was that was in Fontana in the Inland Empire.
Okay, Fontana's very white.
So you call it Fontucky?
Yeah.
Because it's white.
Yeah, honestly, like when I was growing up there in the 90s, there was like a whole like neo-Nazi movement. They were Yeah, and what's really crappy is that my great grandmother moved there because a couple years prior to 92, her son was murdered. And a year after that, she was taking my uncle to preschool. And there was like a drive-by shooting where they had to like dive, you know, behind cars. And that was pretty much that was the last straw, you know, but they actually represented like this whole era, because apparently there was a lot of black and brown folks who moved out of like, you know, the inner city into places like Fontana, San Bernardino, Riverside at that time, like right in 92, like with the uprisings. So we were just a part of that wave.
Well, yeah, it's wild. I'm going to say right now, go listen to Survivors Heal, because Oya's grandmother has lived quite the life. Fascinating.
Is that the show, Survivors Heal?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So Oya's show is called Survivors Heal, and a lot of great people on it. So I recommend checking it out. We'll talk more about it towards the end of the show. But yeah, so what did first of all, how many siblings do you have?
I have, okay, in total, there's 8 of us. So I have 7 siblings. And my mom only has 2, right?
Yeah.
My dad has 8, 7 different women. My mom is the only one that got hit twice, I guess.
Got hit twice. She stayed long enough to have a second baby with him.
Yeah, they were kids though, you know. Yeah. They were like straight up teenagers. My dad had 5 kids by the time he was 19.
Wow. That is a lot of kids by the time you're 19.
Yeah. Well,
were any of them twins?
No.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah.
And what's interesting about that is it's like this at the same time he was like starting an urban peace movement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Renaissance man.
Yeah, straight up.
So where are you in the lineup of kids, like age-wise?
You know what I say? I say I'm the youngest of the oldest and the oldest of the youngest, right in the middle.
So you're kind of right in the middle.
I was just trying to figure that out. Like, it was like that the GIF where like all the numbers going on. I'm like,
yeah.
So those are the youngest. So you're a middle kid. Okay, good to know. All right, that makes sense. I mean, you know, you were in the mix. What did your parents do? I mean, I know kind of about your dad just from listening to your podcast, but if you could kind of tell us about both of them right now.
Yeah, so my mom, she has really been working in Social Security for a long time now. Like, she's going to get to retire from there. But prior to that, she's always been like one of those people who just has a lot of friends. Like, she just takes care of a lot people. Like, she always does like a bunch of extracurricular activities, like starting
business. She's got a lot of hobbies.
Yeah, she does. Like, she's always starting businesses and starting groups and running programs. And my dad is very similar. They're actually both Virgos. So
that makes sense.
And he's been doing peace work since he was 19. He was integral in starting the peace treaty between the Bloods and the Crips in the Watts neighborhood. So him and my uncle and all of their friends, they got together. So he's been just building on that work for many years. And now he is at the head of several organizations, but one of them is a national organization who is providing community-based public safety strategies like all across the nation.
Wow. That's like, so he's been like a lifelong activist, essentially.
Oh, for sure.
That's amazing. What was that like as a kid seeing your parent or your dad like be so invested in like community and stuff? What was that like for you?
Well, it created a sense of community for me, you know. It definitely made me feel like there was, you know, more to this whole world than just than just the day to day. I know that I'm hearing my little baby in the background, like he's ready to say some stuff. But yeah, it was just, it was really cool because it was always like extended family. You mm-hmm. know, the community was always like extended family. Like, that's nice. I have so many cousins and uncles and aunties that are not blood related, but mm-hmm. are dear to me just the same.
Yeah. Well, that's what community should feel like, right? It should just feel like extended family. Did he encourage you to get involved and stuff? And like, were you growing up being like, I can do anything? Or were you just already had like in mind, like, oh, this is what my family is doing and this is really inspiring to me or something?
No, I think that, one, my dad did used to tell us like, oh, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, but, you know, just try and be the best at it, you know?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, my sisters and stuff, they were funny as hell. They'd be like, what if we want to be hoes? He'd be like, be the best hoe.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know? But yeah, I always wanted to write, actually. Mm. I used to love to write. And so I figured I'd do something to do with writing. And so I didn't necessarily think that I would be doing this work. It's just that I felt very personally impacted by the same issues. And, you know, as I got older and older, I felt like I understood why my dad was doing what he was doing mm-hmm. and making the sacrifices that he made in order to do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell everyone who your dad is so they can look them up if they want and learn more about their work?
Oh, yes. Please look up Akela Shirelles. That's A-Q-E-E-L-A. And Shirelles is Shirelles. He's all over. I mean, there's even a really cool documentary that's like narrated by Ice-T.
By Ice-T?
Yeah. Oh,
cool. Whoa.
Yeah, that's like, and it's just talking about, you know, the urban peace movement and what it means to be like a peace activist in the hood, you know, and to work with gangs and in breaking down cycles of violence.
Wow. That's awesome. I don't know. It's really inspiring to know that activists in general are like amazing, but knowing that like he was so committed ever since he was like a kid, basically, and it's been like a lifelong thing. That's just that's like, I don't know. That's someone who cares. Let's take our first break before I forget, and we'll be right back.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
We are back with Oya. We're just talking about the work your father did. You guys can go look that up. I think just anything you and your dad and your family are doing is really cool. So when was like, I mean, I don't want to give away too much from your podcast because I want everyone to go and listen to it. But like in your first episode, you go through a lot of your own experiences being a survivor of crime. And a lot of that revolves around being young and sort of, you know, as any young girl, you are, you know, surrounded by predators or vultures, as you called them, which is older men who, you know, prey on younger women. And you talk a lot about that experience. And, of course, it's just, you guys know, you hit on a lot of very heavy topics. So just like be aware there is, you know, a content warning. And I'm not going to get into all of it because I want people to go listen to your first episode because I think it's so well done. And you really open yourself up to the audience and, you know, tell your truth and in your experiences. So go listen to that. But I do want to talk to you about like how you sort of started your healing journey and how you were able to sort of like come to terms with what happened to you and start to move forward.
Yeah, you know, it's been like a process all the way through. Because it hasn't like been like one major moment and when it's like, oh, I'm healed, you know, but it's been like small things, like breadcrumbs leading me to the path of being all right, you know. So there was like, there were moments when like when people cared for me or, mm-hmm. you know, took up my mantle that were healing. So really it's like that. It's like there were healing moments that got me through from one day to the next, right?
Right.
And a lot of that has been non-traditional. And partly it's because of the lack of resources, you know, in the communities that right. I've you know, grown up in, but also it becomes like the longstanding lack of resources in those in communities like the ones I've grown up in also lend themselves to the fact that there's a lack of trust, or I should say the fact that there's a lack of resources creates a lack of trust. So yeah. So we're left to our own devices, right? But like one of the things that like was really healing for me in the beginning was that there were other young people who were willing to just walk with me. And I think that it's kind of interesting that that's actually how my dad started addressing violence in his community too. As a young person, you know, getting together with other young men of color and walking with them, you know. So I just feel like healing could look a lot of ways that are overlooked. And again, it's a process, it's a journey. And, you know, we don't always come to a place where, you know, it's like, oh, now I'm healed. But if we keep walking in the direction where we are seeking that healing, then we'll find, you know, we'll find those moments where we do feel like we are well and that we can continue.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's so important about your work. It's all about like surviving versus like being a victim, which you talk a lot about in your show. And where did that sort of like language come from? Like, when did you guys, I mean, like, did you learn it from your father, your mother, or just like your community?
Yeah, definitely that comes from my dad's work. And really, like, so again, the Reverence Project, like, is a founding member of the Crime Survivors for Safety and Justice. And really, it comes out of when bringing together, like, bringing folks together to advocate for, like, Cal VCB funds. And it's like, Cal VCB is like the California Victims Board of Compensation, right? So they use that term. The state uses the term victim. And so when We turned our advocacy towards gaining more resources for communities that were like underrepresented in receiving victims of crime compensation. What we found immediately was that folks did not identify as no victim. Like, we are like, that's like a bad word, calling somebody, you know, like calling somebody a victim is terrible, you know? And so it felt more appropriate to call people survivors, especially because, you know, like even when you think about like when someone does pass away, and that's how I view it as well, is like if somebody passes away, you know, they might, you know, their memory will survive, you know, when we remember them, right? But a lot of the times those folks who don't make it, we can designate as victims, but all of the people that are surrounding them, they are survivors. They're survivors of the violence that took their loved one away, or they're survivors of the violence that tried to take their own life, right? So it just, it makes more sense, for one, you know, but also for a lot of people in our communities, it's like, it's just more appropriate, because it's like we're not asking for handouts, we're not playing a victim role, like none of that. It's what we're saying is that there are resources that are set aside for folks who have had these experiences, and you know, as survivors of those experiences, we should be able to access those just like anybody else.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, even just what you said earlier about the value of just like walking with someone or standing next to them, like it's, I think that kind of intent is pretty, like, it's evident still in like that kind of work, where it's just like you don't allow someone to feel like they're struggling alone or that they have to be labeled as a victim. Or it's because it's, I don't know, it's you can turn it into something that like you can empower someone and can empower all of you. It's, I think that's something really beautiful about that kind of work, because it takes really traumatic things and does something with them that you don't think is possible, or like it unites people, I think, which is, I think, is just kind of beautiful. So when you were growing up, like going to school and stuff, you liked writing a lot. Did you have like an idea of what you wanted to be like before you got into this work, or like were you pursuing something in particular?
I was actually, I'm one of the people that they're trying to ban in the nation.
What?
I went after the education that like is currently being banned across the nation, like critical race theory.
Yeah.
And so I was actually really interested in studying ethnic studies and ethnic literature. So I feel like what I eventually was hoping to go into was either like psychology, any of those helping mm-hmm. industries, but because I have always felt like called to support people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's felt natural, you know? But also I've been very interested in history. And mm-hmm. Learning about history, writing about history, which is like why I wanted to study ethnic studies. I wanted to know more about like, you know, how we got here, why we're here, because I knew that there were like things that were missing from my history book when I was growing up. I'm like, something's not right. Like there's,
History is always biased. Like it doesn't matter how many times like someone's like, this is a historical fact. History is always written by someone. And even if that person doesn't have an agenda, they're still writing from their bias without even realizing it. Like if someone is white and straight and male, there are certain things about history that he will deem more important than others. You know what I mean? So I think you being aware that history is like kind of bullshit sometimes and written always by someone in particular, it's not just like an accumulation of facts. I think that's pretty good to realize that as a kid, and to pursue knowledge yourself, I think, is really empowering.
Yeah, definitely.
I used to just really kind of get off on having, you know, other knowledge sources when speaking with teachers and stuff. Ooh. Because like some teachers, like, they'll tell you things like they're facts, and it was really fun to me to like debate some of them.
Well, what were the kind of the sources that you were like, actually, I read this here or whatever?
Well, so there's a book by Ivan Van Sertima, and it's called They Came Before Columbus.
I like where this is headed.
that was something that I read like pretty early, like in my early teens. And so, you know, I mean, but I also just had really crappy teachers sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I had some really great teachers. Don't get me wrong. I had some really amazing teachers along the way, but I had some really crappy ones too. Like, crappy teachers that were like, oh, you guys, you know, before Columbus got here, you guys were savages. Like, straight up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it was like necessary for me to like be doing my own research in a sense, you know, like being like, oh, okay, no, this book says that, no, there was like straight up civilizations that had trade routes, like that there was like transatlantic trade before Spain came along, that there was, you know, these, you know, amazing, brilliant civilizations with art and culture and science, and fuck you. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you can cuss as much as you want on our podcast.
But it was so bad that I even got, actually, I had gotten kicked out of one of my history classes, and the school that I was at, they were like, instead of putting me into another class, they gave me some textbooks and had me become an alternative for the tardy sweep, which is where, when like, if kids were like late to class, like the teachers would lock them out of the classrooms. And so they allowed me to go and grab those kids that were being locked out of the classrooms and ticketed, and take them to like a lunch area and give my own personal class.
Wait, that is so funny. They're like, they're not exactly like punishing you. Like, they're not saying what you're saying is wrong. They're like, low key, spread the word.
Like,
where was this? What school was this? I need to know.
Yeah, this was in Watts. This was Jordan. Okay. This was Jordan High School.
That is so, so funny to me that it wasn't exactly like, that's just, I don't know. Was that fun for you to act in that role back then?
It was so fun. It was so much fun.
It sounds like a reward, not a punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, ultimately though, they were intending for it to be a punishment, because basically they were just going to fail me.
They were just giving you more work in their head.
They were giving me more work that I wouldn't be able to show. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. God. I mean, that's pretty entertaining, though, to have that story now. I'm sure at the time it was frustrating, but in retrospect, it's kind of funny.
That's so wild. They were like, we don't know what to do with you.
Go teach your own class.
Go over there. Yeah. Get out of here. It's pretty surreal. There's a real darkness to the American school system. Outside of the fact that they just teach us a full-on, like, propaganda and nonsense and avoid the more, like, important stuff. I mean, just, like, shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, just because you're like, I don't think so, they're like, whoa, put over there.
Well, it's, like, it's just disturbing because you can, that's, like, a small example. I have so many small examples of that that could have been so much bigger and, like, given with a different teacher or something. Like, I hated standing up for the national anthem, or like, not the national anthem, what's the Pledge of Allegiance. I would never stand up, and I would never put my hand on my heart. I thought it was so stupid. I did not like the idea of saying the word God and like praise. Like, I just, like, there was something about it that I was always really culty. And I got in so much trouble so many times because my homeroom teacher would be like, this is disrespectful. And I just didn't, it's just like little things like that, that as a kid, you're right. Like, it is fun to assert yourself so strongly in something that you know you as a, like, you know, is true in your heart or something, like, you believe in. So at the time, it like made me even more rebellious. Like, I definitely wasn't going to stand up, and I had to like go to the office one day and like whatever. So I think those experiences that you have as a kid, when you test your rebellion Not just like fucking around and like being late, but like you're testing your rebellion for something that you believe in or about your like own personality or something. I think that really like shapes you because I don't know, it's not the authority of someone knowing more than you or being right, I think kind of fades away when you kind of realize like, oh, it's kind of all bullshit and you're just like a person that has opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I remembered the other day and I was telling Miles of Daily Zeitgeist this, I used to, during the Pledge of Allegiance, feed my Tamagotchi because no one was looking at you. They'd all be like looking in a certain direction. So I'd be like,
that's very funny. Oh, I forgot about Tamagotchi.
And then I would just like feed my Tamagotchi like so it wouldn't make noise during class.
Wow.
Because everyone was also talking in unison. So it was like a good time to be like, yeah, you know, do your quick little business. And the teacher wouldn't notice because she'd be looking at the flag or whatever the hell. Because everyone faces it. We all, you know,
it's
everyone,
so
and then
culty.
You face a different direction. And so that was a moment I'd be like, and let's just feed this little guy. Anyway.
That is so funny. Thanks for reminding me of Tamagotchis.
I just remembered that recently.
Wait, are you what year were you born? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, I'm 88.
Okay, so you understand. Okay,
yes, cool.
I don't know why I thought you were, like, younger than me, but, yeah, Tamagotchis were sick.
They were, weren't they? Those were the coolest things ever. Oh, my gosh. That's some nostalgia. I haven't thought about a Tamagotchi in, like...
in maybe a decade. But also, like, what a pure point in technology. You know what I mean? Like, the internet didn't, like, really wasn't a thing in our view. It was just this little thing about keeping your pet alive, essentially. And it's just...
It was a simple life.
It just, I don't know. It was just pure. It was just so much more... I don't know. There weren't any fucking ads. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this capitalistic scheme. It's just, I don't know. I miss those simple
yeah,
days.
Yeah, you didn't have to watch an ad in order to get extra food to feed your Tamagotchi.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's true. It's yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Those were the days. They don't even...
There isn't anything like that now. Like, it's sad. But this is, like, maybe me being like, I'm so old and that way back when. But that's not even what I'm saying. I think, like, capitalism at some point infests everything. And, like, I don't know. Everything that used to be, like, a service for free, for example, whether it was, like, these are bad examples, maybe, but, like, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, eventually, or even YouTube, they kind of devolve into, eventually, the people up top being like, oh, I can make money from this, and it's not a service anymore. Like, do you know they're paying? There are subscriptions now for the Weather Channel.
I've noticed that.
Literally, the Weather Channel, like... I have a huge issue. I mean, everyone should, but like with the idea of paywalling, like information, like that's just information. Like news should be for everybody. The Weather Channel? Are you shitting me? Like, why can't I know about like if it's going to rain or not? I don't know. I that blew my mind. I could not comprehend that. I don't know.
Yeah, that is strange. The Weather Channel. Like, right? I mean, I have an issue with the paywall for just like extra space on your phone, like, or extra space in your email, like in my email. Like, come on now.
The email really gets me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day you had 10 million emails and it was like, just, I mean, like, so who started to count how much space is in somebody's email?
When you really think about it, you start to go crazy. Before we make you too crazy, let's take our second break. We'll be right back.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we are back with Oya. Yeah, so we were just talking about Tamagotchis and then paywalls. But to get back on track a little, when did you start working with the Reverence Project that your dad made? Your dad created that, yes?
Yes, okay. He is the founder and the executive director. I have been working there for about 5 years. And previously, I was doing some work as a parent organizer in South LA.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Can you, sorry, for people that don't know like me.
So the parent organizing piece?
Yeah.
So I was working with a nonprofit called Cadre that organizes parents to help fight against the school-to-prison pipeline. Mm-hmm. And so Black and brown parents that have kids in the educational system that are being pushed out based on bogus like behavior issues like the one I just described.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't agree with your history teacher, get out, you mm-hmm. know? So like just getting those parents to understand what their rights are, what the rights of their children are in school, you know, having them create relationships, but also having them advocate for policies that will create school climates that are really geared towards both social, emotional development, but also There's this particular thing like positive behavior support, so that's not heavy-handed on discipline. We looked at things like the effects of police in the school system, because you know, unfortunately, for many kids in like South LA and places like it, their first run-in with the police is in a school. You know, we had instances where like police were handcuffing like 7-year-olds.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's shameful.
Yeah.
Not surprising, but shameful.
And it's like, you know, like who fights for these kids? Who fights for these parents? And so, you know, just equipping families with the community, you know, and the resources to take a stand against, you know, the fuckery.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It is crazy.
I think that's really important work.
There shouldn't be.
And you were doing that before. No, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say there shouldn't be cops in schools.
No, there shouldn't be cops, period. So you were doing that before joining your dad at the Reverence Project.
And then my dad was like, hey, why don't you come over here and help me out. And it was like,
how's it been like doing that?
It's been really interesting because it's like he's also like he's like bi-coastal. So at the same time that we were building out the Reverence Project here on the West Coast, he joined the mayor in Newark, Ras Baraka, to build out like our sister organization in Newark, New Jersey, on the East Coast. So it was like, oh, I'm working with him, but like, you know, it just felt like like, oh, if I can catch him, you know.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. It's been really fun just like building this thing together and building this thing in the name of my brother and his legacy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if you guys go listen to Survivor's Heal, you'll sort of kind of hear the history and what Oya has gone through in her family and what their family experienced. Yeah. So that's, I am curious actually, like, what was that like growing up with a dad who was like, so sort of, I guess, what's the word?
Driven or?
I guess like, no, I meant like publicly just like everywhere like trying to fight for a cause. I mean,
yeah.
I know sometimes it can be hard when you're like, but you're my dad, but he's out there literally doing like the hard work of trying to help people.
Unite gangs. And yeah, that's like, that is work that does not get recognized.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it was interesting for sure. I mean, but I always felt like with my dad, like even when he wasn't around, it felt like he was around.
Yeah.
Like he did this thing. I don't know if it's a psychological trick or something. I don't know. But he did this thing when we were kids, like that made us, you know, feel like he was always watching, like it's like he was all knowing. He was like just always like he made us feel that way just by, I guess, by like the strength of his wisdom.
Yeah.
Like, but it was but it definitely felt like that, like he's gonna know, like like, and he would tell us, like, you know, oh, you know, whatever you think that you're doing, whatever you think whatever you think you're getting away with, like, I've done it. And you're not. You're not. He's like, I've done it. And so I already know about it. And so, and you're not going to get away with it. And so it definitely felt like that. Like he was always around, even when he wasn't.
That's nice.
Yeah. Crazy.
What a life you guys have lived. I guess I'm also curious, like, what, I don't even know how to ask what I'm trying to ask. So I don't know. I kind of confused myself on what I was trying to ask you. But I guess I am curious, sort of like, I mean, like, what? God, I'm like literally losing my mind. Thank you to COVID. I like can't really, I'm still struggling to get my shit together.
Brain fog is not a joke.
No, that's real. It's just,
God, sometimes I'm like genuinely very fried. But I am curious, like where, when you were younger, okay, let me go back because I'm like starting to confuse myself when I'm trying to ask. I was trying to be like, oh, what was it like, you know, growing up with a dad who was, you know, like a famous peace activist, which you answered. But I guess I'm curious, like when you were growing up and your dad was like doing all this work and you were kind of like between your mom and your dad and like the community, like what did you see for your life? Like what did you think your life was going to be?
I really thought that I was probably gonna, you know, just go, like I was gonna go to college, I was gonna have a career, I don't know, like probably like some, like what's a good movie, like, well, one, I definitely thought like my I thought my college years would be like Felicity, and and I thought that I would then, you know, go on to have, you know, a writing career where, I don't know, I'd write a whole bunch of books, maybe be a hermit. Like, actually, you know what's so funny? I remember when I was like in fifth grade and they asked us to write about like our life in the future. And I had like a whole meltdown with my great grandmother and my auntie because I told them, like, you know, I wanted to go and live in the jungle barefoot and I wanted to build my own like home. And they were like, no, you don't. you don't want to do that shit. What are you talking about? You do not want to do that. And so I was like, fine. I want to be rich and live in a mansion. Fine. Yeah. You know? But that's, you know, when I was really young and pure, that's what's my vision, is that I would, you know, live with nature and write. That's, yeah.
That's yeah. right, because you wrote a lot of poetry growing up.
Yeah, I really love was poetry. Into poetry. I started out with the Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
And
classic.
And yeah. And then I got introduced to like Maya Angelou mm-hmm. and Edgar Allan Poe and then like Nikki Giovanni and one of my favorites is Gil Scott.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, and it was just like I just dived into that stuff because what I really loved about poetry is that it was like these little fragments of information
yeah.
that you could then go and learn more about, like mm-hmm. you know, like there was always this whole other world that was opened up, you know, through those little stanzas, you know?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to look at that. But also it shows that you're like proactive and like being interested in being like, okay, I'm going to learn more about this versus just someone being like, interesting and moving on. We're coming towards the end, but I want to know more about your podcast before we sign off. So you applied. Did you apply to Next Up with a very specific thing in mind?
Sure. Yeah. I imagined that I'd be talking about like a lot of the policies that we've been fighting for, you know, as a grassroots organization, but also like as a membership organization of CSSJ. You know, in my dream world, you know, I would be talking to like folks who have had you know, really like tragic experiences and have healed or have at least started their journey. If they hadn't healed, then that we would at least get to talk about like their advocacy and how their stories intersect with the policies that we're fighting for. So for the most part, that is the mm-hmm. podcast that I have had the really great opportunity to create.
That's so cool. What do you, other than like sharing information and stuff, like what do you hope people get out of your podcast? Like, is it the same kind of idea of like reading poetry and going and seeking out more information, or like what's your like dream intent that people take away?
Yeah, I really hope that people can relate, you know, like I hope to connect with people who have gone through some things and haven't really necessarily figured out how to cope or haven't recognized the things that they're doing in their life to cope. Mm-hmm. And that they're able to access, you know, another level of hope, but also another level of resource through what I'm sharing. But also I hope to connect people to the understanding that there's a larger movement of survivors out here, you know, and that there's so many people that are willing to lock arms, you know, to make sure that, you know, we do have access to healing resource and healing service.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little about the guests you have on your show this season?
Yes, I get to talk with a lot of my family members. You know, I get to talk to my dad, who, of course, is one of the movement leaders. And but I also bring in like my grandmother, Miss Judy, who, you know, has had her experiences. And, you know, through her experiences, like help to shed light on, you know, why we do what we do. But I also talk to people who like Cerise Castle, mm-hmm. who's an investigative journalist who does like really deep, amazing work around survivors of police murders and law enforcement murders. And I talk to folks who are working to utilize technology in order to not only support survivors, but really to stop the cycles of violence, you know, and stop and kind of interrupt some of the tragedies that we see in so that's the citizens team. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that was like difficult to say citizens. Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, and I talked to some folks who have participated in the Reverence Project's programs. I talked to some artists, you know, who utilize art to heal. And of course, you know, I figure I use poetry as a healing practice for so long. And so it's really cool to get to talk to and have folks like recognize when they're using art in order to heal their past trauma. So I talked to a couple of folks who do that too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's right. You're doing really important work.
No. Yeah. I agree. And that show is out. Survivors Heal is out now. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, iHeart app. So go listen to it.
Say the name one more time.
Survivors Heal with Oya L. Shirelles.
Yes, there it is. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure people got it. Yeah, I mean, I'm just so grateful that you have a voice and that you're sharing it because, yeah, your work is really important and can help a lot of people. I mean, it's also just like your family has done, I mean, you've gone through so much and at the same time, you've done really incredible things. So the fact that those can both be true is pretty incredible.
Thank you.
But yeah, I guess that's our show. Do you want to plug anything else, your socials or anything before we sign off?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Oya_L_Shirelles, or you can hit me up at www.survivorshill.com. Where you can actually access the episodes and also see any updates.
Nice. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Again, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Should I just wrap us out of here really quick?
Yeah, wrap us out.
Cool. It's Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter and at Selling Hosni on Instagram. And yeah, go check out Survivors Heal and follow Oya everywhere and keep up with all the great work she is doing. Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.